Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
While Peter was deeply perplexed about what the vision he had seen might mean, the men who'd been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, stood at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was also named Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Three men are here looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and accompany them with no doubts at all, because I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men, and he said, "Here I am, the one you're looking for. What is the reason you're here?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who has a good reputation with the whole Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house and to hear a message from you." Peter then invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up, set out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. The following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. Peter helped him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." While talking with him, he went on in and found that many had come together there. Peter said to them, "You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner. But God has shown me that I must not call any person common or unclean. That's why I came without any objection when I was sent for. So I ask, why did you send for me?" Cornelius replied, "Four days ago, at this hour, at 3 p.m, I was praying in my house. Just then a man in dazzling robes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your acts of charity have been remembered in God's sight. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and invite Simon here, who is also named Peter. He is lodging in Simon the tanner's house by the sea. Therefore, I immediately sent for you and did the right thing in coming.' So we are all present before God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord." Father, thank you this morning, God, again, for this privilege we have, Lord, to be assembled to worship. Father, let your Spirit speak to hearts. God, shake the foundation of all of our souls, our hearts, our minds, our body. Lord, bring us to the place of obedience. Lord, teach us, grow us, encourage us, convict us. Father, whatever it is that needs done today, we give your Spirit full and free rein to do whatever it is that needs to happen. God, hedge this building with your protective angels. Purge anything that would not honor or glorify you, so that this morning it is all about you. God, thank you that we're able to boldly come before your throne this morning and find help in our time of need. And we ask this all in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I don't know if you ever read the Bible and wonder how awesome it'd be if there were videos of it. That's just the way I think. As I was reading this, I said, you know, this would have really been cool to see a video of this. All of Scripture. Could you imagine if we could just pop in a DVD and watch it happen? I'd even watch it in black and white. I'd probably like it better in black and white. Amen? The rest of y'all watch color Andy Griffith, don't you? That's right there is, I'm just not even joking. It's just not right. Andy Griffith in color should be banned. Amen. First one that came, I said, I'm done. I'm going back to the beginning, starting over. But I wouldn't mind watching, meaning I would just love to watch some of the things in Scripture. I'd love to see Balaam. Right? The donkey starts talking, and you're talking back. What's wrong with you? He's talking to it. Aren't you going, wait, you're not supposed to be talking. Why are you talking? He didn't say that. He starts talking back to it like it's a human. Wouldn't that, like in my mind, I'd go, I think I've eaten something. Something's messed up. So there's these really cool things about Scripture and how God does things that would be just really cool. But, you know, seeing it this way, though, is nonetheless powerful of a story. It's an awesome story. Listen to verses 17 through 20 again. While Peter was deeply perplexed about what the vision he had seen meant, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, stood at the gate. They called out, asking Simon, who was also named Peter, if he was lodging there. Peter was thinking about this vision. The Spirit told him, "Three men are here looking for you. Get up, go out downstairs and accompany them with no doubts at all, because I have sent them." First thing that I want to share with you comes from those verses this morning. It's this: God will give clarity when we follow in faith. Where he leads, I will follow. Again, with that hymn. God will lead us. He will give us clarity. He may not give us all of the details of things, but as I shared last week, when God opens a door, again, we've got to walk through it. When he opens a door, though, there's unequivocal picture. It is God that opens a door when you see it open. There's no denying when you've been praying for clarity, when you've been praying for direction. Now, if you hadn't been praying and doors open, you better be really careful is all I'll tell you. Because we know what the enemy does. He masquerades an angel of light. So if you hadn't been praying about a door and a door is open and you go, "Oh, God, thank you," you better be really careful what you're about to walk through. Because we know what Scripture says: trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Christians have a real issue, and I'm telling you, I don't care if you get offended by it, get offended. It's not me, it's not my truth, it's God's word, and it is unchanging. It will stand the test of time all throughout history and eternity. You walk through a door that you've not prayed about, that you've not sought God's favor over, and you believe that that door was opened by God, you better be really careful, because I want to tell you, ask the sons of Sceva about going and using power and walking in the anointing, and you ask the Israelites about taking captive the promised land and finding out what happens when the Gibeonites show up, because what? The door was open. It looked like a duck. It smelled like a duck. It quacked like a duck. So most assuredly, it's a duck. No, it was Satan masquerading as an angel of light. It's a good thing. We'll make this treaty with the Gibeonites. It's a wonderful thing, right? No, it wasn't. So understand what I'm telling you. We can't make any decisions. If you are a true born-again follower of Christ Jesus, there is no way we can make a decision that's based on truth if it is based on something that's not been prayed over, not been sought in God's word, and it is not based in what his desire, his will, his purpose, his plan, and his leading is for your life or my life. That's why that puzzle piece better be set in his lap in the mornings when you get in God's word and you start praying, so that you have discernment, you have wisdom, and you have the ability to know his perfect will. Because when you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Meaning, God's going to direct, God's going to lead, God's going to do the guiding. And the enemy is not going to be able to answer God's prayer request. He'll bring confusion in. He'll try to say, "Are you sure God opened that door?" When you've been praying about it, when you've been seeking God's face, and God opens a door, again, unequivocally, it lines up with Scripture, it lines up with your prayer being in accordance with God's purpose and plans, and to God be the glory. Don't let the enemy try and bring clouds over an answered prayer from God. By the way, don't be praying blessings over a door that was not opened by God and then assuming that it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. You're in the parking lot and you happen to find the Mega Millions, whatever, and you go, "God, thank you." I'd be real careful about that one. Amen? Real careful about that one. Why? Because if you watch every show associated with the people that win those, and they're the ones that bought the ticket and did it, 9 out of 10 of them have horrendous, horrific circumstances in their lives, and the vast majority of them, in less than a few years, are completely and utterly broke, and as a matter of fact, they're in serious debt. Test me on it. Look it up, find out what I'm talking about. We think that would be the answer to all your issues and all your woes. You don't even understand what's invited in when people find that kind of mess. I want what God wants. I want it in his time. I want it in his perfect will, because then it is blessed. Amen? It is blessed. So again, God gives clarity when we follow in faith. And then listen to verses 21 through 29. Peter went down to the men and said, "Here I am, the one you're looking for. What's the reason you're here?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who has a good reputation with the whole Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house and to hear a message from you." Peter then invited them and gave them lodging. The next day he got up, set out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. The following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. Peter helped him up, said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." While talking with him, he went on in and found that many had come together there. Peter said to them, "You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner, but God has shown me that I must not call a person common or unclean. That's why I have come without any objection when I sent for. So I ask, why did you send for me?" Leads the second thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it's this: avoid the pitfall of being a hero in God's service. I want to tell you, there's distinct denominations, and I won't even go into it, it's not an issue, of people that pastoral worship, I call it. There's certain cultures where that is actually encouraged and it is promoted. I know one in Baltimore, they gave the pastor a Bentley. You better remember what I always tell you. Yes, a pastor's a blessing, but he's just like you. He's been called by God. He's been commissioned by God. You should be able to look up to him, and you should be able to let him be an encouragement, a challenge, and you should have spiritual, not, I don't even say heroes. You should have people that are people that you really highly respect, but you better never forget that they have feet of clay just like you. Don't ever, ever, ever fall victim to hero worship, or don't ever yourself fall into the trap of being worshipped as a hero yourself, because it's dangerous. I'll tell you why it's dangerous, because there's men like Jim Jones that start off the right way. You know, Jim Jones started off as an everyday regular pastor. Y'all know that? Anybody know? Jim Jones, actually, they said from the very beginning, was a really God-fearing, Bible preaching. Sorry, I didn't take my blood pressure medicine. As you see, my head is about as red as a strawberry. Let's try that. Carry the wonders of propanolol. Amen. In a minute, I'll take my color off. But what happened was, as people began to flock around him and he began to have these people, you can actually watch documentaries and watch the people. I mean, it was like hero worship. The more this happened, the more the word fell by the wayside. And then the next thing you know, he's, in a sense, the incarnation of Christ. There's another man who knew the entire Bible by memory. Anybody know who that man is? Koresh. David Koresh. Learned the entire Bible by memory. You actually talked to people who weren't his followers. He said it was one of the brilliant, most brilliant people you've ever met in your life. But what happens is there's a real danger when you want to become the hero or you fall into hero worship, because there's only one to be worshiped, and that is the God of all creation. And the route to the God of all creation is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God is our creator. He's our king. He's our everything. And what we are here this morning, and we remember this morning, is that we are not heroes and we are not perfect. That's why we're here. We're here because the imperfect is able to fellowship with the perfect because of the sacrifice of what Jesus Christ did on a cross, in the very symbolic picture of what the cross represented. His death, his burial, and that this morning does no longer represent death. It represents life. The life that we have as followers of Christ because of what he accomplished on the cross, becoming the propitiation, the payment for our sin. None of us are righteous. No, not one. It's still true. But the righteousness of Christ has been imputed on us, so God, when we stand in his presence one day, will not see our brokenness, our sin. He will see the righteousness, the payment of Jesus Christ that has been placed on our account. That is what God will see one day. Our brokenness, our hurt, our sin, all of these things that we disdain about ourselves in this battle, this continued battle with sin, we will not see in his presence one day. Time out. Thank you, ma'am.
Sorry. already on.
We'll tell them online. It's halftime. Start over. Hey, somebody says that's a good thing. One day is they're having distractions at a church. The preacher said, if y'all distract me one more time, I'm going to start over every time y'all distract me. They said it got real quiet. Amen. Now let me start over. Avoid that pitfall of being a hero because it's easy to do. Don't forget this. There's not one person in here, not one person in here that doesn't want to be liked. If you don't, then let me take you with me tomorrow when I go to Trust Point and I'll get you checked in. Because there's something wrong with you. People want to be liked. You don't want to be disliked. If you want to be disliked, you've got a personality disorder that needs to be treated, or you need counseling. Something's happened that would cause you to say, I don't want anybody to like me. Or maybe you're just a bitter, mean, old, spiteful person. And praise God, Jesus can change that. But remember that the hero that you and I want to be, though, if in a sense you say your children look to you, you want to be the hero of God's word, the hero of truth. You want to be a person that people see as someone who loves the Lord, that points others to Christ, not to human worship, not to idolatry. I've known some people who had people they really looked up to, and in the natural course of life, like we all do at some point or another, we will let someone down. And I know people now, I know one in particular who his father-in-law was a pastor, and the pastor, he literally hero worshiped him, and one day he died. And this man's life has completely gone to shambles. I saw him this very week still steeped in a horrible alcohol addiction because his hero died. And see, if father-in-law had pointed him to have hero worship of the God of creation in Christ, when that man passed on, he would have taken the baton and gone and continued to run that race because he would have been following the proper hero. But see, his hero died, and then he has spiraled out of control, and the very wife that was the connection through this father, he's no longer even married to. She left him because of the addiction. We've got to be careful. Hero worship is so destructive. Love those people around you. Yes, be thankful your pastors, your friends, your teachers, your Bible study partners, whatever it might be, thankful for them. Keep them in the proper context. Thankfully, I don't deal with hero worship here because you know me, I point you to Christ, and that's what I want. I want the proper biblical model lifted up and glorified and exalted here in the proper one, and that is the God of creation, and to God be the glory. And then this is verses 30 through 33 again. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago at this hour, 3 p.m, I was praying in my house. Just then a man in dazzling robes stood before me and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your acts of charity have been remembered in God's sight. Therefore send someone to Joppa and invite Simon here, who is also named Peter. He is lodging in Simon the tanner's house by the sea. Therefore I immediately sent for you, did the right thing in coming, so we are all present before you, before God, to hear everything that you've been commanded by the Lord. And the third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is be a puzzle piece in the hands of the puzzle master. Be a puzzle piece in the hands of the puzzle master. Requires Scripture what it says every day. Take up your cross and follow me. What could it cost you? It could cost you everything. It could cost you your friendships. It could cost you relationships. It could cost you a city that you love. It could cost you your life. What's the price worth? Again, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliot's words. What if it causes you to have to get rid of your business, to get rid of your friends, because they stand in conflict with the passion and desire to serve Christ, and they have basically given you an ultimatum. If you're going to do that Jesus stuff, I don't want anything to do with it. You know what I'd encourage you to do? Let them go. Because I will promise you, long after you are a benefit and something in the culture, I want to just tell you, I don't live in fear, but I'm deeply concerned about what the next really 4 years looks like in this nation. I know one thing. I have a car that gets almost 50 miles a gallon. So when I went and put 10 and a half gallons of fuel in my car, which takes me 500 and almost 50 miles for $45, I sat there and watched the guy in the pickup truck. It made me want to throw up watching him. And by the way,
I'm just talking about fuel that I don't have to buy but every 3 weeks. And I get some of that back because I use Upside. Let me know and I'll send you a link to it. And it saves you some money. You get money back. But that's not even talking about the grocery store. That's not talking about if you've got a big truck or all those big trucks that are bringing the rest of your stuff to the store that are paying, some places I've seen upwards of $8 and $10 a gallon now. If you're like some other people, some of you guys are barely making it before all this started. If you just bought a house recently, to God be the glory, I hope you can do, I'm just telling, I don't know how anybody does it with what they're selling for around here. I can't even imagine or fathom. If we had to buy a house right now, I'd have to go have a second, a full-time second job to just pay a mortgage to survive. I don't know how anybody's doing it. Now, I say that saying, when it concerns me, it concerns me for people who are living week to week and day to day. There's the encouraging part of Scripture, though. If God's not leading the ship that you're in and he's not opening the doors of your life, and you're sitting here listening to me, whether you're online or in this building, I'm just going to tell you, I'd go to the part of fearful for you. Because you'll never make it without him. If he is not the captain, the master, if he is not placing your puzzle piece, you are in a place that I would not want to be in for anything in this world. Because, see, I have the promise of God that he will never leave me and never forsake me. But if you're not yielded to him in obedience and you are not placing your puzzle piece in his hand and allowing him to place you daily, you are walking in your own flesh. And this is what I am assured of because I lived it. When I was the puzzle master of my life, I struggled with a whole lot of things. See, that was when I had to have substances, namely hops and barley, to try to quell the inside unrest. Because see, alcohol is that thing that will divert your anxieties and your fears and the emptiness that will return daily. But see, every time the effects of that go off, the emptiness comes back and it seems as though it almost gets more intense. The longer you go through that cyclical emptiness, like a snowball going down a hill. See, that's the battle is, we can hear truth all day long. We can think we can have it both ways. We can live with one foot in darkness and one in light because, you know, I'm able to do it. I hadn't met one yet. I haven't met one yet. There's no such thing as a drug addict that just started doing it on the weekends and he does it part-time. And there's no such thing as someone who says, I've tried it, but trust me, many, many decades ago. I said, I'm only going to drink on the weekends. Only going to drink when I'm off. Guess what happened? Next thing you know, I'd compromise myself into drinking every night. And that's what happens. Then, well, I won't do it till 5 o'clock. Well, then I'd say it's 5 o'clock somewhere, like that old song says. And it was always another excuse to numb what I was running from. I wasn't running from obedience, because obedience you don't have to run from. I've never seen myself running from God's blessing. God, you blessed me so much, I can't handle it. I quit tithing because I don't want him to send any more. I've already got too much. You know what I'm saying? God, you've given me so much that I just can't handle it, so I'm going to stop tithing. I'm going to save it a return trip. You've never heard that, have you? I'll tell you what you hear, though. Man, I'd start tithing, but things are so tight, I don't know. Right? It's never going to get untight. Why do I know? I know this from experience. When I got hurt and I got saved, I'll never forget it. I was in my wheelchair, rolled into Grace Baptist. We were broke. I'm talking about we're so broke that broke people would have called us broke. And I was rolling in there, and a guy, I don't know what made him, he walked up and he said, hey, can I talk to you? I said, sure. He said, you know, I know y'all are in a really tough spot right now, and I know things are really tight. You hadn't been working. You've had all these surgeries. You got these kids. Y'all aren't tithing right now, are you? And I don't talk about that, but I said, yeah, why would I not? Well, I mean, you don't have nothing coming in. Okay? I know that what we have coming in is from God. And why would I think that robbing him is going to allow me to have ends meet any better than trusting him in what the Bible says I take to heart, because it says, test me in this. And I'll never forget, you could tell it was like, it was a mix of ooh and wow. It was a mix of surprise and in a sense conviction, because I think he was waiting for me, and maybe he was battling this himself. I don't know. I've tried to figure it out and I never did ask him, because I don't like to talk about that. But I almost think that he was waiting for me to say, you know, when you go through a tough time, I think God knows, and we just should, you know, you just draw back and no. Great is his faithfulness. And I know that God's word is truth, and I've got to trust the truth of his word and not my own fear, my own worry. The battle with the human condition, which is to trust man and not God. See, I'm going to keep trusting God because I know that he's still faithful. And I know that he's going to be faithful tomorrow. And I know that he's going to be faithful next week. And I know that he's going to be faithful next month. And when I think for a moment, God, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, all I have to do is look in the spiritual rearview mirror of my life, and I will know exactly what God's going to do tomorrow, because he does only what he's done yesterday, because he never changes. He's faithful yesterday, today, and forever. So if you ever need a refresher on God's faithfulness, look back to the last issue that you battled with, and you trusted him and placed your faith and how he made it work out beautifully, and you never would have imagined how he could make it work out, you will know he will do for the situation that you're in. That puzzle piece. Be that puzzle piece in the hands of the puzzle master. God is the creator of the puzzle. He's the creator of our lives. He's the sustainer. He's our keeper. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Nisi, or should be, our banner. Is the banner over you this morning Jehovah Nisi? It's your sickness this morning in the hands of Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha is Jehovah the healer. See, we have a God that is everything. But are you resting in that this morning? Are you trusting him with the essence of your life, your circumstances? Or are you trusting self? If you are, I'd encourage you this morning to let go of the control. I'd encourage you this morning to get a puzzle piece from me after church, put it in your pocket, put it in your wallet, and every time you wake up, if you need to do it that way, or every time you begin to get fearful or uncertainty, pull it out and God, remind me every morning, Lord, that this is yours. I give you my life every day to be what you need me, to put me where you need me, place me divinely. God, I am yours. All of me. All of my finances, my friends, my family, my children. God, the messes in life right now, they're yours. God, work them out according to your purpose, your plan for your glory. See, that's where the peace that surpasses all understanding is birthed. It's birthed in faith, basic faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, I'm certain today that God is God. And I am most certain this morning that he's faithful. My question to you is, are you allowing God to be that master, that sustainer, that protector, that keeper? Are you squandering your life with no discernible reason or path? I can answer that for you. But if you are this morning uneasy about this message, I encourage you not to take your anger out on me or be frustrated or disheartened with me. I would encourage you to go to the master of the message, and that is the God of creation. Because there is no method to human madness. But the clinical definition of insanity is doing the same thing over, expecting a different outcome. And if you this morning would like things to change in your life, and you walk out these doors and nothing changes, then you're only demonstrating and having another lesson in the true definition of insanity. And I would encourage you, you don't even have to be a rocket scientist to go, that is a futile act, a lesson in futility, meaning it's meaningless. And I don't want to be a part of it. Do you want to be a part of something consequential? Meaning of consequence, of that has meaning and purpose? It starts when a man like myself at 29, so full of life and plans, let it go and gave it to the God of creation and said, God, if you're the God that I believe you are, you can have it all. God, you take out what needs taken out. You put in what needs put in. Never did I know that God was going to do the very thing that I said I'd never do, be a pastor. But see, God is God. And God can do with his creation what he sees fit. Amen? All you've got to do is say, God, I don't care what it is you want me to do. I will do it. Where you lead me, I will follow. God, my money is not mine, it's yours. My family, my wife, my husband, my everything. God, it's yours. Into your hands, Father, I daily lay my wants, my wills, my desires, my passion, my hopes, my dreams. God, they are yours. God, I recognize that you are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Or you can get up and walk out and continue to do the same thing. Not allow him to be the Lord of your health. Let him take it away until you're so broken, or sadly you may get to the point in Proverbs 1 where it says you will cry out to him and he will not hear you. He will laugh when calamity overtakes you like a storm. Don't be mad at me. Read Proverbs 1, as you can then read Romans 1 and see the natural progression of what happens when wisdom calls out, cries out, screams to us, O simple ones, why and how long will you love your simple ways? That's what it starts out. It has resonated so powerfully with me because for so many years I was that man. Wisdom screamed, it shouted, and I am now even brought to a place of honestly like a fearful coldness in my remembrance, in the thought of, God, why? Why were you so patient with me? God, you didn't have to be. And that fear comes up in thinking, what if God had said, you've heard it all, I release you. And when I one day cried out, he would have laughed when calamity overtook me like a storm. I pray today, if the God of creation is crying out and wisdom screams, that you would heed its call. God is faithful, he's loving, he's merciful. And this morning, he wants to take the brokenness, the hurt, the misery, and that puzzle piece and use it for something that will not only change your life, will change your eternity. Let's pray. Father,
thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.